Well, I guess that I will begin. Thank you all for coming. This is great, and I imagine a few more might come in at any moment now. I'm Jennifer Longshore, and I was just made the chair of the Public Arts Commission, and you have on this panel Stanley Smith, Cassie Priskinis, and Laura Bloom, who are also on the Public Arts Commission, and Aaron Anderson as well. Thank you for being here. I am fairly new to the Public Arts Commission this round. I've been a commissioner in past years and was really impressed by this presentation that you're going to see today. And my first goal as a chair was to make sure we put it out for people to see and to celebrate all of the hard work that had gone into making this. It's a really beautiful presentation and countless hours went into making it. So I really want to acknowledge that and share it with all of you. I also think that it's a really a helpful tool for the Public Arts Commission. It helps to define public art and provide an overview of public art and also kind of give the watcher an understanding of the role of public art within communities, particularly in our contemporary times. I believe the Public Arts Commission will use this presentation and share it with a numerous amount of people, from service clubs to students to community members, and also other commissions and city entities beyond Ashland. In fact, that is the impetus for this presentation, from my understanding from past commissioners, that it was a genuine ask of our commission to share public art and their knowledge with other places. And it's wonderful, and this presentation is a great segue into that discussion. A special thanks to a few people before I start the presentation. I do want to thank Councillor Stephen Jensen, who is actually in the attendees. Thank you, Stephen. Associate Planner and Staff Liaison Aaron Anderson, who always answers questions like a snap. Appreciate you, Aaron. And past commissioners who have been involved very heavily in this project, I really want to acknowledge your hard work. And that would be Andy Stallman, Sandy Friend, Tom Furmark, Allison Renwick, and Dana Bussell. Thank you so much. Countless hours, I am sure, you put into making this, and it shows. I also want to thank Anthony Heald, who is the voice of the presentation, and Josh Horvath, who is the audio engineer. So, we hope you enjoy. We will have time for a brief question and answer session after the presentation. And the actual slide presentation lasts 23 minutes. So I'm going to mute myself at this point, as should all of the rest of us.
You muted yourself before I heard the last of that. You asked me to go ahead and play?
Rolling.
Public art. These are words that evoke a variety of meanings, emotions, and images. Public art has decorated our civic world for centuries. It ranges from the uplifting and splendid to the jarring and inexplicable. It can be static sculptures that honor notable events and historic heroes. Public art can offer murals that celebrate local identity and history. Contemporary installations give us public art that challenges the imagination and speaks to our sense of playfulness and ironic humor. Public art can rise up and give us iconic works that are recognized the world over. Easily yet surprisingly impressive and often spontaneously necessary. On the other hand, public art can evoke such powerful feelings that it morphs into public controversy and much-needed community conversations. When a piece of public artwork grabs our attention, we may ponder its meaning, or we may simply be stopped in our tracks, astonished by its sensuous delight. The unique accessibility of public art enables everyone to experience art, even in the course of their daily lives. It is here for everyone and becomes a form of collective community expression. Keys to the success of public art come from its ability to ignite the public imagination to a bigger, broader world, encourage thought and discourse and find a deeper meaning, invite physical engagement with the artwork, provide insight into the local spirit captured within the artwork, inspire appreciation of larger places in a unique way, and finally, public art is successful when it fuses art with epic events or with a well-known cultural site. Public art should engage us in simple wonder and ignite our imaginations, because one of life's joys is to be stimulated to visualize the universe in a new way. Imagine a scene in a Marvel comic film in which the Hulk has picked up a tram car and rammed it front first into the sidewalk. Such a fantasy is portrayed by the Bockenheimer-Warta subway station in Frankfurt, Germany. Titled The Hive, this installation is sited in the heart of a wildflower meadow within the Kew Royal Botanic Gardens in London. 1,000 LED lights glow in a rhythm dictated by the vibrations of the honeybees that live in the gardens. The Public Art Program of Ventura, California, commissioned this bus transfer center made of shaped steel. It depicts a bus transformed into a home, and thus the name, Bus Home Ventura. Liquid Shard was a temporary installation appearing as a glittering band of silver streamers that swayed above downtown Pershing Square in Los Angeles. The two layers of the piece, fabricated of mylar and monofilament, undulated with the wind, creating a movement like swaying sea flora. Public art should stimulate thoughts about the role of art in society, about our interconnected lives, and about what it means to be human. In a temporary installation near Tecate, Mexico, by French artist J.R., a giant photograph depicts a child peering over a border fence from the Mexican side. J.R. is often drawn to places where the humanity and individuality of the residents are routinely ignored or subsumed in public rhetoric. Places like Tunisia, Iran, Palestine, and the favelas of Rio de Janeiro. This creation, titled Nonviolence, is also known as the Knotted Gun. It is a sculpture designed in 1980, inspired by the shooting death of John Lennon, and installed at the United Nations building in New York City. Resting on a site where the Nazis burned books authored by Jewish and Marxist writers as part of a campaign of censorship, the Parthenon of Books was a full-scale replica of the famous Greek temple. The piece was clad in 100,000 donated copies of banned books and served as a larger-than-life protest of book censorship. The books were strapped to the steel structure with plastic sheeting, protecting them from the elements and allowing sunlight to filter through the building. The dismantling of this structure began immediately after the opening celebration in 2017, so that all the once forbidden books could find their way back to the public and be read again. This installation is entitled Polar Bears on an Iceberg. The sculpture, constructed of recyclable materials, was launched in Greenwich, England, and floated 7.5 miles to London, highlighting to the world the imminent danger of global warming demonstrated by melting ice caps. Fearless Girl, first installed facing the existing Charging Bull in New York City's financial district, was designed as part of an initiative to encourage corporations to put women on their boards of directors. The sculpture was moved from its initial cramped location and now resides in front of the New York Stock Exchange. Public art is uniquely effective when it offers a chance for physical interaction with the actual artwork. Radio Flyer was created as part of Spokane's centennial celebration of children. The giant red wagon is not only an iconic sculpture to be viewed by nostalgic adults, but to be played upon by children as well. Check out how the white handle acts as a slide. In 1995, the Belgian city of Ghent turned over a narrow street to graffiti artists. Here, on the walls that line the street, artists are encouraged to create spray can art, ensuring that the walls never look the same from one week to the next. Every now and then, the walls are painted over to once again give the public artists a blank canvas. This concept has been so successful that the city decided to make the street a permanent exhibition of graffiti, open to anyone who would like to come and express themselves. Absorbed by Light is a sculpture designed for Amsterdam's annual Light Festival. It is a commentary on how digital technology engrosses and pulls people away from reality. The artist chose to create something instantly recognizable, quite literal, yet ephemeral at the same time. While their bodies are physically present, their minds are elsewhere. Clearly, this art piece invites public interaction and will stimulate conversations about how we engage our devices while disengaging from our immediate surroundings. Hippo Square is the brainchild of a former Taipei, China zookeeper who conceptualized this interactive sculpture while looking for ways to engage visitors. This lifelike sculpture located in the zoo is considered one of the most creative sculptures in the world and has won the hearts of many photographers and art lovers. For about 40 minutes, because that was all the time permitted by border guards, three pink seesaws appeared along the U.S.-Mexico border, uniting children from both countries in a rare moment of shared play. This temporary art installation, Teeter Totter Wall, was made from pink steel beams inserted through part of the border fence that separated Juarez, Mexico, and a desolate area of El Paso, Texas. The teeter-totter wall embodied the juxtaposition of innocent play and the violence of separation. And the seesaw is a reminder that the actions on one side have consequences on the other. The Before I Die project reimagines the way the walls of our cities can help us grapple with mortality and the meaning of a life well lived. Before I Die has become a global participatory public art project with over 5,000 Before I Die walls created by local artists in 78 countries around the world. Each wall is an invitation to live an examined life and be inspired by other lives in our community. Honoring community spirit and enhancing the local civic environment are all ways in which public art reinforces civic pride and community caring. The Joy of Running Together was created in honor of Spokane's annual Lilac Bloomsday Run. The artist has populated this downtown artwork installation with 39 full-sized metal figures. Offering a mix of multiple ages, ethnicities, and abilities, coming together and uniting in a single effort to run a race, this public art installation has become a world-famous Spokane landmark. Constructed of over 35 miles of twine, woven into 243,000 knots, this sculpture, titled Where We Met, added an ephemeral presence to the sky above Greensboro, North Carolina. The sculptural form and composition were inspired by Greensboro's history as a railroad and textile hub. These travel routes and passages brought together people from diverse cultures to be woven together in lines of brilliant color that meet in the center. I See What You Mean is a whimsical bear designed to appear looking into the lobby of the convention center in downtown Denver. The artist envisioned a curious bear emulating the curiosity of a passerby. Many Colorado residents could relate to the common experience of genuine bears on their own doorsteps. This kinetic, twisting, reflective sculpture installed in Prague depicts the head of the city's most famous celebrity, the writer Franz Kafka. The enormous mirrored bust is fabricated of 42 independent layers of stainless steel that rotate individually. Each layer is mechanized, using geared devices inspired by the renowned clockwork and machine tooling traditions of the Czech Republic. The murals on the walls of the OK Feed Mill in Fort Smith, Arkansas, celebrate the quiet American heroes that live in our own hometowns. The trio of colossal portraits represents iconic images drawn from the history of Fort Smith, which includes an African-American female business owner, a Navajo ranch hand, and a World War II veteran and lifelong employee of the OK Feed Mill. Blackpool Comedy Carpet is one of the largest pieces of public art ever commissioned in the UK. It immortalizes and celebrates the jokes, songs, and comedy catchphrases of Britain's most well-loved comedians and writers. This grand tribute to comedy is all written in gorgeous typography. The letters range in size from an inch to a yard tall, so that the laughs can be enjoyed from all sides, from close up and from atop the adjacent Blackpool Tower. This colorful mural, overlooking Ashland Creek in Ashland, Oregon, is a wonderfully whimsical depiction of the streets and landmarks of Ashland's sister city, Guanajuato, Mexico. Titled The Streets of Guanajuato, it was painted by a native of that city. International in scope and scale, the mural reflects a spirit of cooperation and mutual understanding. As a reflection of a particular place and time, public art can focus on the wonder of our immediate surroundings. Built for the Festival of Five Seasons in Liège, Belgium, a giant clothespin sculpture appears to be holding on to a mound of dirt and grass. Relying on playful illusion, the artist seems to be demonstrating man's attempted domination over nature. Imagine a person wandering in a hot desert looking for water, when suddenly in the distance he spots what looks like a lake. As he walks toward the object, it disappears and his moment of hope evaporates. What he saw was only a mirage, an illusion created when light is refracted by hot air rising from the desert landscape. With every surface of this temporary mirror-clad house in California's Coachella Valley both absorbing and reflecting the landscape, the exterior walls seemingly disappear and then draw viewers into a never-ending kaleidoscope of mirages. San Francisco's 16th Avenue tiled steps a creation by two Irish workers working with community volunteers, challenges visitors to climb the 163 steps and enjoy a visual stair-stepped wonder while leading the viewer to sweeping views of the city by the bay. Working from a desire to give back to his community, artist-activist Daniel Peterson began updating basketball courts across Memphis, partnering with local artists to create Project Backboard. Rather than just update the courts with fresh white lines, Peterson turned the court surfaces into massive, one-of-a-kind murals that are both usable and wildly creative. Park Avenue Paper Chase was a temporary installation on Park Avenue in New York City. A series of seven massive white aluminum and fiberglass sculptures, alive with energy and movement, was evocative of everything from loose-leaf office papers to dust devils to paper shredders. The artist wanted to simulate the movement of wind energy as it flowed up and down the avenue, creating random whirlpools of gathered paper. Touching down here and there, they sometimes formed a dynamic, three-dimensional massing of random assortments. This text-based temporary artwork, Theory of Time, is a fishnet structure of letters suspended above a pedestrian walkway in Panjim, India. The region's abundant sunlight pours through the fishnet to cast shadows on the street, spelling out tropes about the passage of time. Time works wonders. Time moves. Time flies over us, but leaves its shadow behind. Velocity is a visual image of the trajectory of a bouncing ball that transformed a barren pedestrian alleyway lacking illumination into an inviting link between Main Street, Ashland, Oregon, and the Oregon Shakespeare Festival campus. We all have indelible images of unforgettable events burned into our memories. Many of these events have inspired iconic public art masterpieces. All who go to the Ground Zero Memorial, formerly the location of the World Trade Center, intensely feel the memorial installation that is rightfully named Reflecting Absence. In what were the foundations of imposing towers, the architect has placed waterfalls of black granite set into the footprints of the twin towers. The cavernous fountains stand in an 8-acre paved plaza filled with elegant white oaks that are growing into an inspiring cathedral of arching branches. The intention of this public art ensemble is to create a place that eases the embrace of both death and life, where victims can be properly remembered, and yet where office workers and visitors can congregate and relax. Affectionately called the Bean, Cloud Gate is the famous centerpiece at Millennium Park in the Loop of downtown Chicago. The sculpture was created using computer technology to cut 168 massive stainless steel plates into precise shapes, which were then pieced together and welded shut. Once fully assembled, the 12-foot-high central arch provides a gate to the concave chamber on the underside of the sculpture. While the Louvre Museum in Paris houses one of the finest collections of art in the world, by the last years of the 20th century, the building itself had descended into deep disrepair. A renovation dubbed the Pyramid Project, designed by architect I.M. Pei, was roundly debunked by critics and called an architectural joke, an eyesore, an intrusion of Egyptian death symbolism in the middle of Paris. However, today, the pyramid at the Louvre rivals the Eiffel Tower in helping to define the Parisian landscape throughout the world. As a monument that descends and nearly disappears into the ground surrounding it, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial metaphorically resembles a combat trench. The architect, Maya Lin, describes this work as a wound in the earth. It also serves as a genuine sacred book of the dead. Drawn to the names of the fallen soldiers inscribed in black granite before them, visitors to the site hardly notice their slow descent into what amounts to a dead end, embracing grave. The largest wooden structure in the world, Seville's Metropole Parasol, articulates the city's role as one of Europe's most fascinating cultural destinations. The structure includes an archaeological museum, a farmer's market, an elevated plaza, bars, restaurants, and concert venues, all contained beneath and within the parasol structure. Locally, the parasol is beloved, not the least for the shade it provides in one of Spain's sunniest cities, with its panoramic terraces and historical views overlooking the attractive Andalusian capital. Public art is everywhere. Find it. Enjoy it. Share it.
Thank you so much for tuning in. I do think there was one more person I wanted to thank. Train, just a minute. Zoom, isn't it wonderful? I wanted to thank also Peter Finkel for the wonderful article that perhaps made you come today. And I wanted to thank Peter for writing that. It was lovely, and to hear the creator's thoughts in the article. And Peter, thank you for being an amazing educator and steward of our public art collection. I thought for a few minutes before we conclude, if there are any questions you might have, maybe since some of you are in a separate space, you could ask your questions into the chat. And there, I know I have a few commissioners who are more involved in making it that might have answers, or I can try, or one of us could try answering questions. So are there any questions that people may have? Great questions. All right, and I think you're all seeing these questions, but let me see. I have Karen Wood says, how can this absolutely excellent film be made available to a wider audience? I think I'll direct that one to Aaron at this point and see if we have an answer. I don't even know if I have one yet.
This has been discussed a couple of times within the PAC, and I know that there hasn't been a consensus. And I would hope that now that we've had this inaugural showing, that maybe we would discuss this at the upcoming meeting and make it be publicly available. But presently, it is not.
And Karen, I can take your name, and so can Aaron. And when I get that answer, we can email you the answer. It might be that it is held closer to the Public Arts Commission for presentations, but I'm happy to get you an answer once we've made that decision. Next one is Thomas Furmark. Have there been any appointments made for showing the presentation? No, that's the next step as well. So having this inaugural presentation was my goal today, and now we're going to start to make appointments with groups and have this celebrated and shared. So we're working on it. And then the other question John Williams asks is, where do we learn about the commission's 2021-2022 plans? Do you mean, John, what's happening in public art right now in Ashland? Is that your question, essentially? Okay. Well, the best place to find information like that would be at the City of Ashland website, on the Public Arts Commission website. You can read our minutes and agenda. There's quite a few different pieces in the pipeline of public art right now. You can always also, as a citizen, tune in to our Public Arts Commission meetings, which are held every third Friday of the month. In fact, we're having one this Friday, and that is a great way to learn more about what's happening every day in the Public Arts Commission. And I hope that was a good enough answer for you. I'm happy to answer more. You can always contact me through the Public Arts Commission. We can talk. Stanley.
Yeah. One thing we talked about in a meeting is that several commissioners have volunteered to bring this piece to community groups or retirement homes, and then you'd have someone on the commission there to present it and answer questions. So I think when we meet next, we might figure out a way that it can be booked and that commissioners can fill a slot to volunteer to present.
Yeah, and I'd like to follow up with Simone Stewart's question. Hey, Simone. I think it would be really fun for me or someone else to come actually to one of your meetings and present this. So if you'd like to have me do that in the future, let's talk more about that, making that happen. There's more here. Aaron,
and if I could just point out, on the city's webpage, on the Public Art Commission page, there is a submittal form where you can send an email that will go to the Public Art Commission. So for Simone and Jared, please feel free to contact us through that vehicle.
Great. Thank you, Aaron. Perfect. Yes, so we are happy to come talk about these things with any and all of you. And so, yes. There are some great things happening. One thing back to what is happening with Public Arts Commission in general, we have a really exciting sculpture that will be part of a historic commission, Public Art Commission planned historic area, the Railroad Park. We'll have medallions that explain important historical sites. And there's also a piece that is celebrating the railroad that'll be installed within the next year, maybe next 6 months, we're hoping. So that is in the pipe, and there are other things coming to us but not finalized yet. But a lot of exciting stuff happening. Great. So we have someone from Roseburg. So happy to have have this come to any of your meetings and be a part of your discussions in other cities. So glad you're here. And so any of you, please fill out forms. We'll reach out to you. And once again, thank you to all of the people who participated in making this and to all the people who took the time to come today. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate my commissioners as well. Thank you for taking the time on a Tuesday afternoon. Any other questions or comments? All right. Well, then I say thank you so much, and thank you for coming, and have a good day. Thank you, Aaron, for running this for us, and we'll all see you soon. Take care.
Thank you very much. Goodbye, everyone.